Hey patrons, it is Monday. You can see behind Scoots, the set is undressed. It's gone. It's being moved in 2 days. But we felt
game
like,
over, man.
Yeah, game over. Hey man, that's too soon.
Too soon? Shit, sorry.
It's too soon.
That's my homage.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be great.
But yeah, we figured we'd talk a little bit about the stuff in the feedback thread that we posted.
Yeah, thanks for sure.
Thanks for posting that, guys. And then throughout the past week, me and Scoots have been jumping over to the new house and trying to figure out how we're going to do that set. So we could talk a little bit about that and some of the complications that are already coming up. But let's talk about the feedback thread first.
Yeah, so first and foremost, you know, as I alluded to in the pre-show, behind the scenes, you know, we got new microphones. We were really excited about them. I think overall, they are about 12,000,000% increase in quality in comparison to the two shows before. The sound is almost exactly where we wanted, I think. I had never used those microphones before. I'd worn one before, but I'd never actually had to mix one, let alone five. So as you guys noticed throughout the show, I was kind of figuring out what they would pick up, what they wouldn't pick up. You know, Marcus's was a little too far down, and he's kind of a nasally guy. When he breathes, you know, he's a big breather. So I had to slowly throughout the show figure out how far back to move his microphone away from his nose and his mouth so that still pick it up nice and hot, but not the breathing stuff, right? Of course, it doesn't help when he, like, takes a big drag of a vape. I can't really fix that, folks. These things are meant to be very sensitive microphones, right? So they will pick up, like, breathing and stuff like that. But it's just a matter of that adjustment, right? Every guy is slightly different. Every person has slightly different tones and all that. So it's just figuring out everyone's exact placement, but I think overall, other than a few times that Marcus breathed, and same thing with like Adam, and this is a hard habit to break. Right? I wear glasses too, right? And Adam is trained, you know, as when Adam fixes his glasses as a human, he does this. That's how he does it, right? Some people do this, some people do this, some people do this, and he naturally has taught himself that that's how he does it. And when you wear glasses, it becomes second nature. You don't think about pushing your glasses up; you just push your glasses up. Well. Doing that every time, his palm and his hand was hitting his microphone, right? To the feedback thread, someone also asked, you know, can the mics be flipped? They can't. They are only made that way only, right? That brand of Isomax, Countryman Isomax, are left side only. So there's no, because ideally, like, I would have had the guys that are on, you know, the far side of the camera have their cheek show and not the microphone, but it's just impossible.
Right.
And I'm not going to go chasing two different types of mic styles either and have, you know, those mics are perfect, so we're going to use them. So yeah, it does have that. Can't fix that part of the feedback thread. Like, they're all on that same side. Can't fix that, but still working on placement. So I think next show that'll be even better for everybody. But I think, again, audio this show compared to the last two, night and freaking day. So very happy about that. The other big issue that came up in the feedback thread, and it's bothered me since the first show, right, is the two side angles for these guys and these guys, right? I can stand up. Are you still seeing?
Yep.
And the issue is very limited space, right? So if I come too far, like, right, just to give you an idea, if you saw the video, the tripods sit right about here to go this way and then roughly the same spot going that way, right? Because there needs to be a walkway over here so they can get to the set, because this is all full of lights and shit too. So have to have a walkway. So it's a constant battle of making sure this guy's shoulder doesn't screw up this guy's shot, right? And vice versa. And then the natural problem with it is as these guys turn more towards the DM, they are making their angles, you know, more one-sided, which is not good, right? Definitely not good. I took my inspiration for the basing setup on Acquisitions Incorporated. They do basically the exact same thing, right? They've got two side cameras and the big main camera. But they've got a lot more wiggle room in their actual studio set to get kind of maybe farther over here and then come down. But I got this fucking thing in the way, and I got a wall and this thing in the way. So it was kind of the unfortunate limit of the situation. It really bugged me this time more than the first time, and you guys have never, that I've noticed, mentioned this before, and I think the reason it really kind of got us all going, and I tried to think about this morning after reading the feedback thread, and I think part of it was the actual show we were doing. We have Adam, who obviously always talks as NPCs and does his thing, But he's playing this character named Pi, who has lots of conversations. And he had lots of conversations with Lenore and with Piani, right? And so it's natural. It's not that like Matt Mercer is just taking direction or listening to the GM, but he's turning and talking to Pi, right, as he should. So the minute he started doing that, well, that makes these camera angles even worse, right? But it's weird to have him sit perfectly straight and like, you know, so it's just the nature, right? So they creep this way, doesn't help the angle at all, right? These two guys, like JP and Jeff, not so bad because they're farther in, so their angle isn't as severe, right? But I think that's why you all caught it too. On top of that, Mercer in particular, flowing locks of hair, right? And so as he's sitting here and he's turning this way, you've got half a face of hair, right? I'm not going to tell him to pull his hair back and put it in a ponytail or anything weird like that. So that just kind of all, I think, component for all of us. And you know, again, since day one, I haven't been happy because obviously they're talking that way. So you don't want to show the opposite, right? The way to fix it is really, really easy. Put the cameras in the fucking shop, right? If I put a camera over here somewhere, and I put a camera over here somewhere, and they come this way, and they come that way, I have to worry about Adam standing and not screwing the shot up, and I have to worry about these two guys not leaning in and screwing up the two shots. But that's doable, right? But then the issue is, when the big shot would show the robotics here, and JP and I are going to just figure it out and discuss it, and like, part of me is like, I don't care anymore. Like, it's a better shot, because then they would be turning and talking to Adam, and we're kind of over Adam's shoulder, so they're kind of talking to us. I think that's much better, even if you see two robotics somewhere in here, right? Or the other option is you come kind of more straight down on them, because remember, you got JP sitting here, right, or somebody. So you got to come over him, but then if you come too far down on somebody, that looks weird too, right? So all these things I've definitely been thinking about since the first show. And now you guys are talking about it, so it's something to kind of resolve. And I think, again, that's the easiest, is you just bury him in. We can do that, you know. What changes all this, though, is we just got back from JP's new house, and unfortunately, like, this has been glorious for us. We finally, like, nailed it, right? Great set, easy to decorate. His new, you know, and obviously you guys are familiar that JP's losing this lease. He has to move, so he found a new house. It's got a very similar setup, kitchen, built-in area, you know, dining room where I'll put the tech gear, and then literally an open kind of great room space, but it's not as tall, which is good for Echo, but it's not as long or as big. So I don't think I can recreate this exact set over there. So it's gonna change anyway, whether we end up just doing a few bookcases here and there against the walls, and it isn't a full U-shape of bookcases, we might be getting a different table. So all of the new set's going to look similar but different, I think. And so when we rebuild the set, we'll address those camera angles and all the other feedback that we've been getting. But that's a big one. Like, the feedback has been mostly, for me, about the camera angles, some dice camera stuff we'll talk about in a second, and the mic issues, which, again, I vastly improved, but still got a few things to tweak. So it's kind of unfortunate we can't just move this exact same thing over there, because it's really sweet. I'm going to come back once he gets all moved in, like months before the next show, and just JP and I will put the jigsaw puzzle together again and figure out what we're going to do, how are we going to do this.
Right.
Do we need to have some bare walls that we put artwork on because we can't do a circle of bookcases? You know, how can we finagle this new living room to be a cool set, right? So it might look different. It might not be exactly the same. You know, there's a discussion of, do we just make it a role play room? And then we don't really have to dress the set every time. But then me, Aaron, and JP, and you guys, I think, all like the idea of dressing it for a show. It adds that nice, it connects the set to the actual show you're doing. I think this show is a prime example of all the things Aaron did with the Easter eggs that you guys all gave her and all the side jokes. And like, she literally made it look like a little derelict, crappy spaceship, which was awesome, right? So this kind of setup gives us like the bones to dress it really well. If we end up not having bookcases and stuff, it makes some of that stuff a little more challenging, but you know, the space is the space, so we'll make it work. And other than that, I think gear-wise, everything went good. There was some discussion about the dice camera. I don't, I guess the, one of the feedback threads was that he missed a couple dice throws. Could I show... it was weird. I two different pieces of feedback. One guy was like, I missed a couple dice throws, so could you, when you go back to the full camera, could you leave the dice camera up? You know, right. And I think that's a... I don't think that's a pretty shot. And then where do you determine that, okay, everyone who didn't see the roll now has seen the roll, I can get rid of it, right? And then I put the... And then another guy didn't like the fact that I was showing the live shot on top of the dice shot, right? But when I didn't do that before, people were really mad at me because they wanted to see the reaction of the dice, right? They don't want to just see the roll and hear everyone laughing and screaming. They need to see the reaction of the table. Well, the only way to do that is show both, right?
Right.
And the first show, I did the opposite. I had small dice camera, big live table shot, and people couldn't read the dice. So I flipped it, right? And even during the show, I zoomed in a little tighter on the dice. JP is well aware that those dice need to be normalized and maybe a little bigger. You know, those were like multicolored, multi-hued. Like, we need more TV-friendly dice, right? That's easily solvable. But I don't like the idea of like a 24/7 dice camera. This isn't like an online stream where you just tuck in role play and a roll 20 where that information's always there or whatever. Like, this is kind of different. And to the guy that, you know, I missed three dice. I missed three rolls in 8 hours. Like, I literally got there too late because I told all the guys, you know, when you're getting ready to roll, do me a favor, take a quick peek at your monitor to make sure that I'm on your shot. And those three times, they just grabbed and rolled, right? Well, yeah. I'm in the middle of, like, doing all sorts of things, so I missed three. At the end of the day, you missed the roll, but I go back after the roll. So you still saw the roll, but you saw it. You didn't see him roll it, right? So I missed three. Not a whole lot out of 8 hours, right? And I just think that's... I think what we're already doing is kind of a good compromise of showing you the excitement of the people rolling and the roll. We fix the dice. We do those kind of things, make it even easier to see. And we'll keep tweaking that. But I don't... that's a weird... That feedback's weird to me. Not weird to me. It's both. I'm getting both feedback. One guy doesn't like to see the live. It was throwing off his shot of seeing the live people. He just wants the dice guy. The other guy wants the dice more. So it's just something that we have to kind of compromise and figure out exactly what we do. I think generally the show flow is really good. There was another feedback of sometimes my camera angles were a little long and short or quick and stuff. Well, and I think another thing you all need to understand is, like, what's the easiest way to put this? So, ideally, what I try to do is I stay on the group shot, and then if someone starts talking, I try to jump to them. But what happens is, you know, I don't know what they're going to say. There's no script. There's no teleprompter. So, Jeff might start talking, and I go to Jeff, and he's saying one sentence. So, then I go to Jeff at the, like, as he's talking, and he's done. So, then I'm like, fuck. If I jump off that too quick, it looks bad. Right, so I sit there for a second, and then I go back, right? So it's a fine line of, okay, I'm going to take JP. I hope JP talks for a little while. Oh, fuck, he's not saying shit. He just, like, okay. So I'm always jumping back and forth. I tried to get, you know, you can tell, like, when people are going into a long speech, obviously, I try to get on those two shots. But I don't think I missed too much conversation. But I do intentionally jump back and forth. So if Marcus is having a big, long speech, I'm not just going to stay on the two shot of Marcus and Jeff. He's gonna talk for a couple sentences. I'm gonna go back to the wide shot. As he's talking, I'm gonna go back to him again. You know, and usually I try to do it in between sentences. You know, so it makes kind of sense. But I'm not just gonna stare at a boring two shot all day either, even if he's talking for 10 minutes, right? So I try to bounce it around a little bit. But you know, sometimes again, I would think a guy like JP's gonna say something, but he's really just making a quick joke. But by the time I get to him, his joke's finished, and now I'm on a shot with no one talking. Just the nature of it, right? Other than that, I think everything else, like, again, I think we're really fine in our flow. I think in some regards, the graphics are too big for us. I think they're too, we're taking up too much space with the stats and some of that stuff. So I'm going to get with Daniel and JP and just, I think we can make them smaller. And the reason they're so big is intentional. The thought process was, if we make those lower thirds nice and big, if someone's not full screen, then they can still read the stats, you know, the dexterity and the strength and all those numbers, you know. But I still think there's a fine line of making those maybe a little smaller. And maybe kind of doing that information a little differently and using it more often. Another feedback in chat was, can we see the stats of the guy who's rolling as he's rolling? You know, because that would help give you guys an idea of, like, you know, what what the possible addition to his roles are, all those kind of things, right? And those are doable too. The issue is that shit happens really fast. So A, not only would I have to get to the dice cam really quick, I would have to go, oh shit, Matt's rolling. That's this graphic. You know, that's four different graphics and a quick switch. Things to think about. I'm not going to say they're impossible, but not necessarily the easiest thing to do in 2 seconds, right? To get the camera right, to get the right guy's graphic up, and you know, and so I got to think that through mentally. Like, how would I do that? How can I pre-program that somehow? That I hit one button and it's the dice camera and it's Matt's info, and I basically got four buttons programmed for that. You know, so it does two things, right? Not only does it take the camera shot, but it grabs the right graphic. So those are things I got to mess with in the TriCaster. I like the idea. I get why you all want it. It's just figuring out how to kind of make it easy for a one-man show to kind of switch, right? And I'm trying to think any other feedback stuff. We talked about the audio, talked about the camera angles, talked about the dice cameras.
I think that's
about it.
Yeah. Anything else? You've been responding in the thread. I'm sure you'll continue.
Yeah, and I'll keep an eye on it when I get home. And again, I think you guys have been great. I think the best thing about like the feedback thread now is now you guys are getting into like creative feedback thread stuff, like creative ideas, you know, which is great because you guys are the ones that are watching. You don't need to tell me that the sound was bad the last two shows, right? That's the last two shows. That's been the feedback from you guys, technical feedback, right? Which is great. Need it. Already knew it. But now the show is to a point where that shit doesn't bother you anymore. We've gotten the production good, and now you guys are nitpicking, which is good. Don't get me wrong. That's not a negative word. Like your eyeballs are good. Like the stuff, like a guy actually took and made a mock-up of like the possibility of how to put the cameras. Shit I already know about, right? I understand exactly what he drew. It's already in my head, but that's neat. Like you guys are looking at those kind of things now and not like, Scoots, the mic suck. Well, yeah, we know that. So that kind of feedback's great and we'll always take it. I won't always change to it, you know, but listening to it, good feedback, bad feedback's always good to hear. And then somewhere in the middle is where you kind of compromise and fix stuff. And other than that, next time you see me, we'll have a different set. We'll have a different house.
Yep.
JP will fill you all in on what his plans are. I don't know when we're even doing this again or who we're doing it with. Obviously he's got to move and get everything all set up. I think this was our best show. I think you all agree. I think the actual, you know, the show itself was amazingly entertaining. For Mercer to step in and to this, like, club, if you will, of Swan Song. He had everyone Bible thumping in that last hour, right? And that's the one thing that really got me. That speech was the lightning rod to me to be like, I gotta fix these camera angles. His speech and Wheat's speech to Pi, or their conversations right at the end, those very heartfelt conversations, those are the ones that I want Matt's face right in front. I want that. I want him talking to me or talking to Adam closer. Just that emotion, right? And we had the same kind of thing, but like you got the side angle. Not terrible shots, but can be improved, and we'll definitely figure out how we're gonna fix that for next time.
Yeah.
And so that's it for me. Next time you see me, it'll be JP's new place for the next show. Take care. Thanks again for all the support. Much appreciated.